You're not here today, guess what? We miss you. Amen. We miss you. More importantly, God, on this scripture before, but I don't think I have. But we're going to be in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 13. Mark 9, 2 through 13, when we get there in a little bit. But we'll be in the NIV version. Again, Mark 9, 2 through 13. Everybody give me an amen when you get there. Give me a thumbs up if you're watching at home when you get to Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 13. Hey, guess what? That is the title of today's message for those watching at home. Jesus' Transfiguration. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to understand what Jesus did. What the Transfiguration was. Amen? But as I told y'all here, and I'll tell you at home, today is the third Sunday of what? Of Lent. Not Advent, I apparently said it last week or week before. But the third Sunday of Lent. And the third Sunday of Lent is Transfiguration Sunday. So what better message for us to get from God today, amen, not from me, but from God, than a message about His Transfiguration. And to see if we can understand it a little bit better. Because I don't know about you, but when I read that and just look at the word from it, I'm sitting there going, what? What are you talking about? You can't do that. But let's learn a little bit. Amen. Let's get a little bit closer to God today. Amen. Are you ready? Together we're going to gather together to reflect on a significant event in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's His Transfiguration. This event is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it must be pretty important, huh? If it's in all three of them, it must be an important event that took place in Jesus' life while He was here on earth with us. Amen? But it was recorded in all three of those. And it reveals the glory and the divinity of our Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus ourselves, many of us can relate to the disciples' struggles at that time. We're often forgetful of who Jesus really is and how much we can truly trust Him in our lives with everything that we're going through. Amen? One of the benefits of that we get in studying the Gospel of Mark is having a chance to see how Jesus reveals Himself to His disciples and to learn about Him and the process. So if you will, turn with me to Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 13. Mark 9, 2 through 13. NIV version says it this way. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him, led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There, He was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. That was Peter's response because he was so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered him. And a voice came from the cloud and said this, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to Him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them the orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves. That'd been tough, wouldn't it? That'd been tough to keep that awesomeness to ourselves. Amen? They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why did teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected? But I tell you," Jesus said, "Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wish, just as was written about him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, get Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. May it be your word spoken and not mine, Jesus. Lord, may you open each one of our hearts up to the blessing that you have for us in the message today about your transfiguration, Jesus. Lord, may we get a closer understanding and a deeper desire to want to walk with you like you each and every day, Jesus. Lord, may you be with us through the rest of the message. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. In Mark chapter 9, we have the privilege of looking and listening in close as Jesus reveals himself to three of his disciples in a magnificent way. The transfiguration occurred when Jesus took his three closest disciples, Peter, John, James, and John, up to a mountain to pray. As he prayed, his face began to shine like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Then Moses and Elijah appeared, and he had a little conversation with Jesus. Amen. Peter again was awestruck by what he saw, as I'm sure we would be too, wouldn't we? We wouldn't have a clue how to act, or what to do, or what to say at that moment. But he was awestruck by what he saw, and he suggested again that they build three shelters for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And while he was still speaking, I'll get that out, a bright cloud overshadowed, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, who I am love. With him, I am well pleased." I'm glad our God is well pleased with our Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Listen to me. We got a problem with that, don't we? But God was telling those three disciples directly, listen to him. A lot of times, we don't want to hear what Jesus says, do we? And the disciples fell face down to the ground. And when they looked up, Jesus was alone by himself again. Whew, I don't know about you, but that could be hard to take sometimes. That just that thought of what was going on. I know we would probably act like Peter. We would be scared. We'd be just struck down by our Lord and Savior. Just being lit up that way. Amen. But here we're going to set the scene for you a little bit. In the days leading up to that event, Jesus has told his disciples both of his coming suffering on the cross and death and the cost that they would suffer following him. While they were waiting for Jesus to establish his kingdom and to rule and reign, he tells them that first, Jesus must suffer and die, and that they too will suffer. Amen. It's while they're processing those things and those issues that he talks Peter, James, and John up to the mountaintop, and he shows them things that would give them hope. They needed that kind of encouragement, didn't they? They needed that kind of assurance. Guess what? We need that same kind of encouragement and assurance. Amen? Because he wanted to help in their faith. Amen? And that's what Jesus does to us. His transfiguration can help in our faith and grow closer to him. Through that incredible story, we learn four things. Or at least four things about Jesus that can help us trust him more fully. The first thing we learn is this. Jesus is not just a man. Everybody say he's not a man. Jesus is not just a man. He is God himself. Amen. He is the glory of God walking earth in the flesh. Amen.
A high mountain. In the scriptures, mountains are often a place of revelation where God speaks and reveals himself to his people. As Jesus takes his disciples up on the mountain, they were going to see him and hear from God in a way that they never had before. How many of y'all could use a transfiguration moment right now and see God in a way that we've never seen him before? They see Jesus transfigured. The word transfigured means this. It means to be radically changed. While the nature of who Jesus was didn't change, Jesus' nature didn't change, did it? His person didn't change. His godliness didn't change. Amen? But his appearance did, didn't it? His appearance changed dramatically during that transfiguration. His appearance changed in such a way that more of his true nature became visible. The glory of God was revealed, wasn't it? When Jesus was transfigured, the glory of God was revealed. In the scriptures, the glory of God is often presented as light. It's often presented as light. As Jesus is transfigured, it is as if the veil of his flesh is pulled back and the disciples see the glorious light of God shining forth through him and around him. Jesus is God, isn't he? Jesus is God. And from him shines the glory of God. And the second thing is this. Jesus is not part of the story. Amen? Jesus is not part of the story. He is the point of the story. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Amen? Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. With Elijah and Moses being there, along with the revealing of his glory, the disciples also see two other people that join them, Elijah and Moses. These men serve as part of the representatives of the plan and promises of God from the Old Testament. Moses was the one who brought the law of God to the people, wasn't he? And Elijah is often regarded as one of the greatest prophets to ever be walk the earth. But Jesus is the fulfillment, isn't he? While the disciples may not have fully understood the significance of what was going on, we know from the broader testimony of Scripture that Jesus came as the fulfillment of the law and of the prophets. There were shadows and pointers to him, wasn't there? And he came, and when he came, sorry about that, when he came, he accomplished all that they foretold in the Old Testament and the prophets. Amen? And the third thing is this. Jesus is not just another prophet. Hey, some religions would have you believe that our Lord and Savior was just an extra prophet rolling around. Amen? But I got something to declare to you today. Guess what? They're lying. They're lying. Jesus wasn't just another prophet. He's the Son of God. He is Jesus Christ, the one to whom we must listen. Amen? And whom we must obey. Whether we like it or not, we still have to obey him, don't we? When we have a relationship with him, we should walk that way. In Peter's suggestion, after seeing the glory of Jesus and the appearance of Moses and Elijah, Peter perceived that this was the fulfillment of the establishment of the kingdom. He thought that was it. Hey, the kingdom's getting established here on earth. He proposed that tents be set up, didn't he? As places of residence for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Tents would be similar to the Old Testament tabernacles where the presence of God dwelt. But God corrected him, didn't he? He said, ha ha, stand down, Peter. Stand down. Hold up, homie. He said, no. He said, while Peter was able or ready to honor all three, God intervened, didn't he? and makes it clear to him and to all of us that Jesus is the one who is to be honored and heard. No one else, amen, but Jesus. God speaks out of a cloud declaring that Jesus is my son and I'm well pleased. Jesus is his son, amen, and our father and our salvation. But he said, Jesus is my son. And the disciples should listen to him, just like we should today. Amen. The fourth thing is this. Jesus is not just a teacher. Amen. Jesus is not just a teacher. He's the Savior. Jesus is the one who came to suffer and die on each one of our behalves. He is the only one that can atone our sins and give us eternity and our salvation. Amen. As they came down from the mountain, the disciples had questions about what they had seen. They wondered about Elijah and the prophecies that he would appear before the end would come. Perhaps they thought that what they had seen signaled the arrival of the great salvation they were waiting for. But in response to their questions, Jesus again announces his suffering and his death for us. Just as the prophecies of Elijah were fulfilled in John the Baptist, so the prophecies of the suffering must be fulfilled. And they would only be fulfilled. Ours would only be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen. So what can we learn from this event for us? First and foremost, the transfiguration is revelation of Jesus' divinity. The shining face and the dazzling clothes indicate that Jesus is not just an ordinary human being, but truly is the Son of our God. And the appearance of Moses and Elijah shows that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. Secondly, the transfiguration shows us the importance of prayer. Jesus went up the mountain to pray, didn't he? He took them with him to pray. And while he was praying, he was transfigured. Prayer is not just a time to ask God for things, but it's also a time to be transformed like Jesus was by God. Through prayer, we can draw closer to God and be transformed into the image of Christ. And the third thing is this. Transfiguration reminds us of the importance of listening to Jesus. We sometimes get busy in our day-to-day walk, don't we? That we lose track of the importance of listening to our Lord and Savior. The voice from the cloud said what? Listen to Him. It didn't say just when you want to. It didn't tell the disciples just listen to Him when you wanted to, did it? It said listen to Him. This is my Son. Listen to Him. This is a call for us to pay attention to Jesus' teachings and follow the examples that He gives us. Because I don't know about you, but I still believe this. Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And if we want to live a life that pleases our God, then we have to listen. We must listen to Jesus and follow His commands. Amen? So in conclusion, we got this. Transfiguration is a significant event in the life of Jesus, revealing His divinity, reminding us of the importance of prayer, calling us to listen to Him. So as we reflect on that event today, let us be transformed by the power of God. Let us draw closer to Him through prayer and listen to Jesus' teachings as we seek to live a life that pleases Him the most. Amen. May God bless us all. In 1 Peter, or in 2 Peter, Peter reflects on what he saw on the mountain that day. Based on that experience and what he saw in Jesus, Peter calls us to believe that God can be trusted. His Word can be trusted. His Word is true. Amen. And His promises are certain. so we can have hope in our life and hope in the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your blessings and your message today, Jesus. Lord, as always, I thank you for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Allowing your words to be spoken through me, Jesus. Lord, I just ask you today, Lord, that you would impart in each one of us, Lord, the blessing and the messages you have today about your transfiguration, Lord. Lord, that each one of us, again, would want to draw closer to you, Jesus. We would want to have a life that reflects your love, your mercy. We would want to be transfigured ourselves, Lord, to not look like the world that we used to, Jesus. Lord, we only do that through listening to your Son, Jesus, as teaches through our lives, Lord. Lord, we ask you just to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord, that we can tell about your love, your mercy, your grace, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. In the name of my prayer, everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.